Welcome to episode 22 of the Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. In this episode, we compare and contrast the use of pagination, load more, and infinite scroll when presenting users with a large quantity of information on the web. For show notes and a full transcript, go to accessibilitycraft.com/022. And now, on to the show.
Hey everybody, it's Amber, and I'm here today with Chris.
Hey everybody.
And Steve.
Hey everyone, how's it going?
And we are going to talk about the different options for showing lots of different posts in WordPress or different content, whether that's infinite scroll, load more, or pagination, what the impact of each is on accessibility and the best. But of course, first, we have to start off with a drink.
Yes. So we are going to be trying Wild Bill's craft soda today, and we are going to be trying their root beer flavor. Shout out to Amazon for sending me a 12-pack of only root beer when I requested a flavor variety pack. We were supposed to be doing a soda flight today because I thought that would be fun, but instead we're just going to taste the root beer, which root beer is my favorite soda, so I'm not mad about that.
And we haven't done a root beer yet.
No, we have not done a root beer yet. And this one looked interesting. This company jumped out to me. I've never had their stuff before, but they are a veteran-owned and operated company. And they do vintage sodas. And their ingredients are nice and clear and clean, nothing crazy. So, you know, like on mine, it's the first two ingredients are carbonated water and pure cane sugar, right? So and then their various extracts and flavors. So it should be pretty good. My kids have been getting a preview of this because, again, it was a 12-pack of just root beer, and Amber and I each only need one can. So my kids have already been giving this good reviews, and as someone who likes root beer, I'm excited to try this. Right. So we can crack these open, maybe.
Yeah. Do you know where they're located, Chris?
That is not something that I wrote down, but looks like maybe New Jersey, based on the can.
All right.
Smells like root beer.
Yep. It also has, I'll say, a really cool, like, it's skinny and tall can. It's only 12 ounces. And it's got, like, I really like the typography and stuff that they've done. It's all white with, like, a dark brownish, I'd kind of say. And they've got, like, some vintage-style fonts, which it really appeals to me, the label on the
side. There's a cowboy on a horse. He's wearing his hats, and then he's holding up what looks like a mug of root beer, if you look at that little detail on the bottom, which is kind of cool. But I just tasted this, and it feels like a solid root beer to me. Like, it tastes like just a good solid root beer.
It says creamy, frothy, and bold with a sweet finish and spicy undertones. Let the memories come flooding back as you settle into this mellow, natural tasting real root beer.
And it says veteran owned. So shout out to all of our veterans.
Tasting this, I mean, it's a craft root beer, right? It just reminds me of a standard root beer. I don't know what I was really expecting beyond that, right? Maybe part of me hoped that since it was, you know, like a craft root beer, that maybe the flavor would be a little bit more complex or interesting or different in some way. But to me, it's just like, it's like drinking any other root beer.
Are you getting the licorice? I get the licorice. Is that typical in a root beer?
I mean, yeah, it has that kind of herbaceous flavor, right? Or that
I don't get the juniper. I get kind of the licorice on the end, which is what I expect from root beer, and the vanilla. Mm-hmm. I don't get, like, it says juniper in their tasting notes. I don't get the juniper really.
So what I will say is, after my first impression sip, I'm still tasting it. Which, if I think about, like, drinking a run-of-the-mill root beer, usually that flavor kind of evaporates, probably because they're using, like, artificial flavors. I can still kind of taste root beer. And it's been maybe 30 seconds since I've had a sip.
Mm. And it does have a decent creamy mouthfeel.
It's good.
It is way higher quality than like run-of-the-mill grocery store 2-liter root beer.
What's your sugar review, Amber?
Yeah, I always give the sugar review. I would say it is on the more sugary side. It is not like, this is not one of those root beers that has bite, maybe is a better way of putting it. Right? So it doesn't, like, the carbonation feels a little lower to me. Mm-hmm. It has a higher sugar. It is not as syrupy as the Hello Kitty Cherry Limeade was.
Yeah, that also had corn syrup, right? So you can definitely tell that this drink is sweetened with sugar and not corn syrup.
Oh, for good. Sure. You're not giving us cancer this week.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely sweet. All I want to know is where's the vanilla ice cream, Chris? Did you send me a vanilla ice cream?
I know. Can you order vanilla ice cream off Amazon and get it still as ice cream instead of soup?
No, probably not.
Maybe only if you live close to a Whole Foods. Well,
didn't we have a ice cream client or a gelato client? They package it in dry ice.
Yeah, they packaged it in dry ice and they would ship ice cream. We'd build a WooCommerce store for that. Or gelato, not ice cream. Don't call it ice cream.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they also it was a kosher brand too, so I think it was all non-dairy. And they made gelato that was like super creamy and tasted like dairy even though there was none. So
yeah.
I know. That would have been pretty good to have your beer floats. Well, we all have extra, assuming our children haven't drank it all.
No, they've already drank most.
That was the last can, Steve.
No, I think there's a couple more. I think my sister-in-law stopped by and stole a few to take to my brother.
So the verdict is everyone likes it. This is definitely a drink worth buying again.
Yeah, this is your family drink.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. Like, if I had a table in front of me and there was, like, A&W and Barks and,
Wild Bills. Know,
some store brand and then Wild Bills would definitely get picked. And I don't know if the differentiating factor for me is the sugar or maybe their extract, the flavor just lingers longer, but it's definitely good. And I feel like their carbonation level is also spot on. Like some sodas, you know, I feel like they overcarbonate it and the bubbles are way too intense. This feels like the bubbles and the sweetness and the botanical flavors are all nicely matched.
It's interesting. It has acai and yucca extract, which is really interesting.
That is interesting. Yucca. Very cowboy in the desert theme with the yucca.
How many grams of sugar in this?
43 grams of added sugars.
Ooh.
In 12 ounces.
that's in one can. That's 86% of your daily value. They're really packing in the value there.
So what you're saying is this is not... Yeah, this is not keto friendly. Is that what you're saying?
Probably not. Sorry, Steve, did we ruin your diet?
that's like what someone on keto gets in a week, probably.
Yeah.
You know, it is a fabulous treat, which is probably what most of the beverages we have on this are. They're treats that you should occasionally indulge in, but not have too much
of. Right.
So, except for, I don't know, I guess maybe when we have the ones that are distilled water or mixed with distilled water and then don't add enough flavor and it's just sparkling water. I don't know.
Well, I've got a segue for us here. So just like we probably shouldn't drink infinite amounts of Wild Bill's craft soda, maybe there shouldn't be infinite scroll, or maybe it's okay in certain applications. That's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, that's a good segue.
Yeah, so... for people who are not familiar with Infinite Scroll, Steve, you want to give us a rundown? What do we mean when we're talking about Infinite Scroll?
Yeah, I mean, just basically you go to a website that has some sort of like repeating post or of some sort, right? And you scroll down and I mean, it can present itself in different ways, right? Like, but you scroll down and it automatically reloads like the next paginated set of posts or
content.
And then you scroll down some more and it loads more in. Now, from like a user standpoint, I think, you know, from an average standpoint, it's kind of nice that you don't have to keep clicking, right? to, you don't have to click load more over and over again. But I think we're going to dive in and see that there's definitely some accessibility challenges, right?
Well, you know what's interesting, actually? I wrote about infinite scroll for my post, my Accessibility Weekly post that I do for the admin bar this week, and which it won't be this week when this episode comes out, but we can put a link to it in the show notes. But a bunch of people commented on that, and they were saying things like let me see, like Dom Wint said, this is not even an accessibility thing. Infinite scroll is just rude. Makes trying to get to the footer an impossibility.
Right.
Which I have definitely been on websites where I scrolled down because I was looking for something in the footer, like on news sites or something, where I'm like, I want to find the advertisement link where you can go if you want to advertise on the site. And the only way, it's usually in the footer, right?
Right.
Or the privacy policy. And I like get to the footer and I'm almost there and it loads more content and the footer goes away. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, so that's the infinite scroll version where it just keeps going and going and going. And then there's another one that I encountered last night, talking about like different versions of when you're serving content, right? Where you get the request to load more. So I had the pleasure of spending most of yesterday evening and into the wee morning hours doing a security audit and installing security software on about 60 websites. And I was in WP Engine's dashboard, working my way one site at a time down the list. And I thought I was almost done. but it turns out the load more came up for their version, right? And I was only at the piece. And so like 15 more websites loaded and it was 11 p.m. And let me tell you, when that scroll bar is telling you you're almost done and then you get to a load more link, that was incredibly demoralizing for me. I don't know if that's really a use case that many designers consider, but that did not feel good. I thought I was almost to the bottom, and I was in fact not almost to the bottom of the list. I had only gotten about 3/4 of the way through.
And they didn't tell you. They didn't tell you. They didn't tell you until the very bottom that you've viewed 50 of X number of websites.
Well, I was going to ask that. Did you just miss it? Like up at the top, was there something that says like, you know, 1 through 20 of 50?
I mean, intense focus on going through, I don't remember. But if you're logging in, okay, so WP Engine's dashboard at the top does not have a, hey, you're only viewing a partial list.
No, they're different because they don't have the, it's down at the bottom.
Yep.
So right above, so they have what's called a load more button. So it doesn't automatically load them, which is better for accessibility.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We should circle back on that in just a second. But the whole you viewed 50 of 61 sites is right above the load more button, whereas it might be nice up at the top to make it clear that you're only getting a batch of what's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we love WP Engine, and I feel like they actually have one of the most accessible dashboards, but this is probably something that would be nicer for users to get that expectation higher on the page.
Yeah, and I mean, my use case is maybe not totally uncommon, right? There are times probably when people are working down a list of their sites to do a thing. But yeah, I just thought it was kind of a humorous thing. I'm definitely not trying to crap on WP Engine. You're right, Amber. They do have one of the more accessible dashboards out there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about infinite scroll. Why is infinite scroll not good from an accessibility standpoint beyond the whole is frustrating for all users at times?
So this is, you're talking about when it automatically reloads the next set over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good for several reasons. I mean, like, it could be that, like, it's loading things into the page, right? It's throwing off like an initial count. Like, I don't know if this content is loaded into a list that they've already got to, and the screen reader has announced how many items are in this list, right? And then if you're appending more items into the list without taking some measures to announce that, then I think that's problematic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when I was doing my research for this article that I wrote, I spent some time like exploring different examples of infinite scroll outside of WordPress. And then we can talk about it. I also looked at a couple WordPress plugins that we can mention in a minute here. Mm-hmm. But in some of them, the triggering of loading more was only triggered with a scroll,
mm-hmm.
not with a tab interaction. So if you were a keyboard-only user who doesn't use a mouse, you can tab through all of the content that is currently visible, but when you get to the last one, then it just goes into the footer and it doesn't load more. And there's no way to say, hey, please load me more content. So any subsequent products or subsequent articles or whatever that might be are literally not accessible.
Right. They can't.
Meaning like they can't even see them or get to them.
Yeah, it's effectively a trap for assistive technology users. If you're serving a lot of content in the context of that infinite scroll, they keep going and going and going, and there's no auditory or otherwise indication that
they're going to
reach the end of it.
I found some where they wouldn't keep going.
Oh, yeah.
And because there's no load more button and there's no pagination, it's literally like, guess what? You, keyboard-only user, only get to see the first page of results, and you have zero ability to see any more pages of results.
Right.
Yeah.
When you Amber said like you're trying to scroll down to get to the footer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you kind of alluded to like, oh, I can't get to the footer. You like this weird little like this is weird, right? Like, could that present cognitive overload to certain people?
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. A WordPress native tool, Accessibility Checker provides reports directly on the post edit screen. Reports are comprehensive enough for an accessibility professional or developer, but easy enough for a content creator to understand. Accessibility Checker is an ideal tool to audit existing WordPress websites, find accessibility problems during new builds, or monitor accessibility and remind content creators of accessibility best practices on an ongoing basis. Scans run on your server, so there are no per-page fees or external API connections. GDPR and privacy compliant. Real-time accessibility scanning. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to a paid version of Accessibility Checker to scan custom post types and password-protected sites. View site-wide open issue reports and more. Download Accessibility Checker free today at equalizeddigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code accessibilitycraft to save 10% on any paid plan.
Yeah, for sure. So there's actually an episode of the Accessibility Rules podcast, which I can't remember if we've talked about that on this podcast. Maybe not. But if not, I will say that's one of my other favorite podcasts. Nicholas Steenhout, that's his podcast. He does these little like 6 to 10 minute, they're pretty short interviews with people with disabilities. And there's one that he interviewed a gentleman named Albert Kim, who has obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and some other things. And Albert was talking about how infinite scroll and the fact that it just keeps loading more content can, for him, like with his OCD, he sometimes has compulsions that he cannot stop. Where he cannot leave, and he'll like get stuck on a website for hours trying to, like, if he's researching something or trying to find something, like he'll just keep thinking, oh, there's more I have to read or there's more I have to engage with. And he won't be able to leave it. And to the point that, like, you know, he won't eat or he won't get up and go to the bathroom even when he needs to. Which that for me was something, you know, like we talk about screen readers a lot, but there's a lot of other disabilities that are maybe like hidden disabilities. Like if you look to him on the street, you might not know that about him. Mm-hmm. But he can be like, and he talked about, you know, some other things in that episode that are worse, but like he sometimes gets physically ill as a result of some choices that people have made on websites and his inability to control his own compulsions at times as related to that. Mm. Whereas he was saying, like, if something has a hard stop, whether it's a load more button or like pagination, then he could be like, well, I'm only going to look at this page of results. And it kind of like will shift his brain
right
out of that.
Reduces the overload or like the, you know, we did a website years ago. So I'm tagging that.
Yeah, before.
long before our deep dive into accessibility that had one of these, right? And it's a website with cats and dogs on it.
It's an animal shelter.
Yeah.
Adoptable pets.
And like literally like, you know, when we would get a support request or something for this website, I'd pull the website up and like, there's just something inside of me that compels me to go look at all these cute animals. And I just can't stop because they just keep
literally
loading.
What did I do? What did I do last night, Amber, when I was going through the website?
He texted me a picture of a dog from this website. Yeah. It's like, you can't avoid them. They're so sweet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think,
So I think a level, respecting the user and giving them a level of control over the content that is presented to them, I think is important.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was one thing in WordPress, the 5.8 update, which was in 2021. This was one thing that was changed. They took the infinite scroll out of the media library in WordPress core, and they replaced it with a Ajax button that was a load more button. So you'd get to the bottom of whatever number of results, and then you'd have a load more. Now, they had to do some special things, and I think it's worth mentioning that on a lot of websites, that load more button can also add accessibility problems because a lot of times what happens is developers, they hit that, you click the load more button, it adds content above the load more, and they fail to shift focus up to where the new content has been added. And so then what happens is they hit load more and someone would like hit tab or hit, you know, like caps lock A or whatever their command is in their screen reader to like keep reading from the point they are, expecting that it's going to have loaded below where they are, but actually the content loaded above where they are, so they can't get to it unless they backtrack on the page to try and find it.
Yeah, that's definitely something we've had to do in our projects, is definitely make sure. So you're saying you've got, just to like make this clear, you've got 10 posts, you hit load more, 10 more posts load. So post number 11, the focus should be shifted to post number 11, correct?
Yeah, or to the container around post number 11. So when I was testing these infinite scroll plugins, I actually want to give a shout out to WordPress Infinite Scroll - Ajax Load More. That's the name of the plugin. It's free. I was very impressed with this one. I could tell that the developer, and I think it's just an individual independent developer, that he had put some thought into accessibility, because first of all, it did actually announce when new posts were added, or like it would keep the focus, but he has a visible load more button below, even with the infinite scroll. It'll automatically trigger as you're scrolling. But when I tested this on his demo with with VoiceOver, it recognized that I had VoiceOver turned on, and it didn't do the infinite.
Mm.
And so then I had the button, and what happened was I could reach the load more button, and then when I triggered it with the keyboard, it shifted focus up to, he had everything properly in a list, like we've talked about, it's beneficial to have in a list. So it would say, it shifted to the UL container around the elements that were LIs. So it would say, you know, list 7 items. So I knew 7 more posts loaded, and then I could hit tab again and it would take me to the first post, 1 of 7. So that I was pretty impressed. I could tell he did a good job of when had actually thought about this.
Yeah. And we've actually used this on projects.
Oh, have we?
Yeah, in the past. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't know with the way it once it's styled, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you're saying when it loads a new set, it loads it in a new UL?
He did. Yeah, that's the way they did it. So instead of inserting LI elements into the existing, in that particular plugin, it just loads a second UL of posts, which I think is probably better because it's not modifying the existing list 1 through 7.
Mm.
And suddenly making it 1 through 14, it's just adding another list of 7. So I feel like that probably is like the best way.
Yeah.
Because users get the context of 7 more items just loaded.
Yeah. That's very interesting. I feel like
I've learned something. So the alternative on this, instead of shifting focus, is what the media library did. Which is there's a button, once you hit load more, it adds a button, jump to the first loaded item. Okay, hold on. I unplugged my phone, Chris.
Same. All right, let's pick back up.
So the alternative on this is what the media library did, which is instead of jumping to the container automatically, in the WordPress media library, once you hit that load more button, it adds a button right after it in the DOM that says jump to first loaded item. So then if you were to hit tab from that load more button, or, you know, have your screen reader read from there, you'd encounter the jump to first loaded item button, which you could then click. Mm-hmm. And it would shift your focus. And I don't know if there's a plus or minus on adding that versus automatically shifting.
Yeah, I think it's in one aspect, automatically shifting it, we're controlling it. In the other aspect, I think you're putting the control in the keyboard user's hands. I don't know if either is right or wrong. I'm just saying that I think in the second one instance where you have the button that you could then jump to, it gives them a little bit more control, but it is an added step, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like it's wrong to not give them the control and to just shift them, because in theory, the expectation when you click a load more button, mm-hmm. like that could be, so there are, you know, WCAG rules about, you know, having things happen without user interaction. But I think clicking that load more is the user saying, I want more. And yeah. So in that case, like just shifting them, moving their focus to what they asked for, which is more, they don't know that they suddenly got added to the page. I mean, they mm-hmm. might, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, so that's almost like they asked for it, so you take them there. So I think that's okay. But, and I think like this load more button, what it does do, you know, it helps with some of that context. It gives a hard stopping point that helps, you know, for a lot of people. It still allows the footer to be reachable.
Mm-hmm. Performance.
But it may have the same problem without adequate labeling, like Chris mentioned that he experienced, which is he had no idea. I mean, at least they have at the bottom how many more will load, but on a lot of websites, it's just like, here's your grid of 12 posts. You hit load more, it'll mm-hmm. load 12 more. You have no idea. Can I hit that load more 3 times? Can I hit it 50? And it will continue, right?
Yeah, that context having that context, it can be really, really critical in certain applications of how you're using the interface. Being able to know where you've been, where you are, how much more you have to go, right? Depending on what it is.
Well, here's another point too about either the infinite scroll or the load more. Let's say you load 20, you know, enough to see 20 dogs, and you've hit load more twice, or it's loaded two results page for you. You click on one of the dogs. You go to the dog's page. You look at the dog. And you're like, oh, wait, I want to go look at another one. You go back. Now you have to, like, hit it again unless, I don't know, maybe the browser has updated or something. But I'm like, that could be bad. I don't know if you have thoughts about that, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how it's created, right? It depends. And typically, the typical way I've seen that achieved is that the URL is being updated, that a history of the URL is being updated with each pagination.
Like as a parameter on the URL?
Yeah, like a parameter in the URL is being set, right? Or a hash. I've seen it done with a hash before too. Yeah, and when you go to that page and you come back, it'll load all of those again. Now, whether or not it takes you back to where you were, you know, that I haven't always seen that. I mean, I've seen it where it just doesn't even load the paginated pages that you had already loaded.
Which I think is a problem, and that's annoying.
Yeah, I think it's problematic. I mean, what you would expect is when you hit the back button, it loads all the ones you had, and then at least from a visual standpoint, it scrolls down to where you were. And I think from a keyboard standpoint, it should probably focus on at least on the last loaded list, right?
Yeah. Would it be possible to tell which post or which link the person clicked on and actually go back and have their focus on that exact element that they had clicked on?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, right? It's just, do people go that extra step to make it happen, right?
Yeah. I think for sure, like, that's where this might be easier with just using regular pagination, which, for people who aren't familiar, that would mean either the next previous or the numbered pagination that says, like, 1 through 30 or something like that. Maybe you can't see the numbers in the middle. But that might be a way to solve this more easily for a developer, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I know, you know, the traditional pagination that you see, like in the WordPress admin, you see it at the top and the bottom, so it gives context. And it's got the next and previous with, like a few page numbers. And then, of course, it won't show like all of them, right? It'll kind of truncate that to some degree. But we kind of moved away from that because load mores became, you know, kind of the eye candy, right? The quick thing to load into the page kind of gives you that one page app feel, right? But I think as we've made this turn back into accessibility and stuff, I actually find myself leaning more towards the traditional pagination for a number of reasons. Gives you context. You don't have to write all this custom JavaScript to modify focus, and performance, right? So if you load a page that has 10 posts, right, and you click to the next page using traditional pagination, it's going to load a whole new page, and it's going to load 10 more, right? And if I hit back to the first page, it's just going to load the first 10. So from a performance standpoint, I'm only ever loading 10 posts. If I jump, say I have a load more, right? I load more and I'm loading 10 at a time and I click that 10 times. I've got 100 posts on the page. I click one, I go off to that post, I've read it, I'm ready to go back. I click back. That page has now got to load 100 posts again. And then if it's doing it right, it should bring the focus to where they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the page would load a lot more slowly in that case, right?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. You start to think about this in the context of websites that are serving large amounts of content to large audiences and how many of those audience members are drilling down and having 100 posts on a page and moving back and forth. And what kind of server load inefficiencies is that creating for your entire website?
Yeah, just think if you're Amazon, right? You know, like how big of a change, you know, that would be in your performance and your bandwidth, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a reason why any large e-commerce store I can think of, they all use pagination.
traditional pagination.
Yeah, traditional pagination. A lot of them have the ability for users to change the number of posts per page, which I think is a nice, like, happy medium. If you're like, well, we're going to default to 20 products per page, but we want to allow people, if they really want to look at a bunch, which I do this sometimes on e-commerce stores, I might toggle that to 100.
And then
I don't have to click the, you know, the next page button as many times. But I do think, which is interesting because it's probably actually a link, not a button. I call it a button, but it's probably really a link. But that was my choice. And so I don't know if the average person, it was just me as a technical person, I recognized that, well, once I set 100, the page might load a tiny bit more slowly, but it's worth it for me. Like,
We had to make considerable attention to pagination and the number of pages loading in our accessibility checker plugin. So like, if you're running Accessibility Checker Pro, you have the ability to like look at all of the issues in one place, or you can even kind of look at those. We call it fast track in a more packaged like by issue. So the pagination on those, like we were running into performance issues, right? So if you're querying just huge numbers of issues, right? It was such a weight that, you know, you get PHP timeout issues and stuff, memory issues. So we had to put a lot of consideration into how many posts were loading per page. And then we even had to like abstract, how can we group these, so we have errors in the plugin, right? Like we call them issues a lot of times. And we made it an interstitial page that you then drill only into one issue at a time. So then only one of those is paginated at a time. So there's a lot of attention that went into that just from a performance standpoint. If that was an infinite scroll and I had to consider those performance things and accessibility, that would have been a development nightmare.
Yeah. You probably would need an AWS server farm just to power it. Because when you get our stuff on a website with, like, you know, 20,000 pages, it's generating hundreds of thousands of problems typically.
So is there any accessibility implications of doing Ajax pagination versus actually changing the page on the URL? Like, the default WordPress behavior is that when you click a next page button, it loads a whole new page. It doesn't, just load in new content in that content area. But a lot of WordPress plugins do sort of like Ajax type pagination where the whole page doesn't change. And what thoughts do we have about that and implications for accessibility?
It's definitely a challenge, right? Like, I think what you're doing is you're modifying. Let me back up. We talk a lot about in accessibility, kind of going back to basics and about abiding by semantics, right? The web browser and HTML in and of itself handles a lot of these accessibility issues right out of the box. When we want fancy pages that look like they're one-page apps, or, you know, that load content in without a page refresh, I mean, I think those things are great, but I think that you're then presented with a challenge to make that accessible. You're having to re-engineer what the browser already does for you.
Mm-hmm. So, like, it, unless you add ARIA, like ARIA Live and alerts,
mm-hmm.
when you were to do that, just like Ajax in new pages of results, it's not going to announce. Like, I've seen that before where we've audited websites and it had an Ajax pagination, and visually a sighted person can see that it worked, mm-hmm. but a screen reader wouldn't say anything because the ARIA was missing to literally say, hey, this button worked and it loaded more posts for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that would be the same thing where we were talking about, you'd also need to add that shift of focus. Whereas if you don't go the Ajax route and you're just loading a new page, then what happens is they click the link to go to page 2 of results. And then at the top, theoretically there's like an H1 or something and a page title that says like blog page 2. And so they hear, okay, now I'm on page 2. And then they can move through the page to find the results because they're at the top. They don't have to go backwards. They don't have to do any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, totally. And there's, I mean, I think one area we haven't really touched in, you know, I know that we're focused on accessibility, but there's also SEO implications of this as well. You know, like, I think that plugin you mentioned, the WordPress Infinite Scroll Ajax Load More, I think that they actually make considerations for SEO.
Oh, because like the pages of results wouldn't be there?
Yeah. So it says paging URLs. Generate unique paging URLs for every Ajax Load More query with the SEO. Oh, looks like there's an SEO add-on for this plugin that handles that.
That's interesting, though, because I frequently think of, like, the extra pages in a blog.
Yeah.
I don't know if I actually think those have SEO value.
No.
Like, no. So I think the first page does. And, like, if we're talking about this also, like, in terms of categories or tag archives, like, those have, like, you want the first page to always show up because it might have a description and it's going to rank for whatever category, like, whatever term you've set as the category name and in theory, right? And then it's going to show results. But what we've seen, like, what I've seen in, like, SEO scanning tools is, like, the subsequent pages, if it scans them, it'll always be, like, it'll flag it as duplicate content because it'll say it has the same title. It has the same meta description. Like, this is not unique. And it really isn't unique. Like, page 2, page 3, page 4, right? I mean, it does have different posts on it. But I feel like I don't care as much about getting page 2 of my blog to rank as I do about just getting page 1 and then all the individual articles that might happen to be on page 2 this month until they shift to page 3. Like, you know...
Mm-hmm. But as something like as a crawler is trying to crawl out from like a blog archive, if it has infinite scroll, is the crawler smart enough to like load more and follow every single link versus if you have something paginated, there's links present on the page that it is fully capable of drilling down? Okay, or is everything done via, you know, like a sitemap XML file and none of this matters?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at the add-on that they have. I mean, if it doesn't matter, I'm curious why this add-on matters, right? Like, I mean, it gives you a pretty URL, right? You get like /page/3. And maybe that's the most beneficial piece that if you were to want to link that to somebody, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not an SEO expert.
Although, you know, I will say, like, that's a good point. If someone wants to share something, and here's something, you know, that's a little bit of a curveball. I didn't write in our show notes, but how do we feel about order by random?
Like,
so let's say I'm surfing animals. I see an animal on page 3 or like 3 animals on page 3. And instead of sharing the individual links to the animal, I just send Chris a link to page 3. And I'm like, look at these 3 animals on this page. And then he goes there and he's like,
it's three
those animals aren't on that page. What are you talking about? Because he got a different random order. Like, is that bad? Like, is that a usability and even potentially an excess? I mean, I don't know if order by random fail. I don't know if I can think of a success criterion that would fail. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to be choosy. Like, what number one, I would want to know what's a valid use case for that. Number two.
Well, I mean, is animals? Like, I'm pretty sure that actually that website does that.
Oh, does it?
I think it does. I think it does because they were like, they don't always want to just show like, the newest animals that they have or the oldest animals that they have, like they want it to like really mix it up. Although really maybe the argument we could go back to them with, we're like, we want to fix this, is we could be like, you should show the oldest animals, the ones that you've had the longest that you're having a hard time adopting out. Like you should put those first and then put the newer ones down at the bottom. I don't know.
It's definitely not random.
It's not. If you reload the page, it's exactly the same.
No.
Good. Maybe we talked them out of that.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the order by is. I'm not sure if it's like random at some point. Like if it's like, if it's all the adoptable animals are first and then, you know, a second ordering is random. Random presents issues for caching as well.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't cache a random.
Yeah, query, yeah. So
I think like a lot of things, it probably depends a little bit on the context in which it's being used. Like I could see potentially value in showing random posts as like suggested continued reading at the bottom of an article in a news area to keep people on the site. You know, you could show random articles within a certain category that excludes the article they're currently reading, right?
But that's like only showing 3 or 4 random articles, right? It's not like getting all articles and then ordering them randomly. So like that's definitely different. So that wouldn't, I mean, it might have a caching implication, but it wouldn't have the same performance and it wouldn't have the usability challenge of, well, the last time I came to this website, the posts were in this order, and now I came and they're in this other order, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Like I remember feeling like I would do order by random more in the very beginning when I was a freelancer. And now I'm almost like, no, there should be logic. Always logic.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but again, I don't know if there's a specific success criterion. I could draw that too. And that's what sometimes gets frustrating for me with accessibility is like, I want to be able to be like, here is the hard and fast rule so that I can like convince clients to just do things the way I like them.
Right.
Which is not actually always the case. Like sometimes it's just a lot of people agree that it's better, but there's no like, it has to be this way.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of being accessibility professionals, right? And that's, sure, you start with the baseline, right? We have the guidelines. There's a baseline of things that we should all follow. But when you get beyond that, I think you're using your own experience and your own intelligence to decide. You get a better understanding of how keyboard users use it, and you can intelligently make those decisions. Are they right or wrong? That's debatable, right? But I think it's the mindset that you're always striving to make things more accessible, not just meet the baseline standards, right? We're trying to improve it, and maybe at some point, the way we decide to do something, the Equalized Digital decides to do something, gets widely adopted and becomes a standard. I think it's just all about progress in the accessibility field.
Yeah, it's compliance versus just trying to be accessible, right?
Yeah,
compliance is the baseline, and then you can extend beyond that compliance. And go above and beyond.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, right, like Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, those are an open source community initiative. So if we get really serious about an opinion, you could go pitch it and get everyone, just like you can get very serious about, I want a certain feature in WordPress, and you can go submit a pull request and see what happens, right? Try and sell people on the idea. So.
Sure.
I think maybe the last question I have on this whole idea of, you know, should you use infinite scroll or pagination or something like that is would it be sufficient perhaps to have like toggles or alternate versions where people could, you know, like right above your post list, maybe you have infinite scroll on by default, but is there a little like toggle that's like turn off infinite scroll, and then it would just have the load more. And if you had the labels that said, you know, 1 through 12 of 480 or whatever, right? Like that would still give the context and that kind of stuff. Like, do we think that is a sufficient way to work with a client who's like, I really need infinite scroll for this? Be like, okay, well, we will do this, but what we want to do is add something that allows a user to just turn it off.
Yeah. from a, you know, from the developer, me is like, I don't want to do all that extra work, right? Like,
that's literally going to be my question is how much extra work is that?
Every developer that is listening to this podcast literally thought that same thing.
Yeah. But I will say that I don't know if this was in regards to Infinite Scroll or Load More, but I know we worked on a project that had like a faceted search. Like
that was auto submit.
That's correct.
That's what it was.
It was
and you did something like that, right?
Yeah, and we put in a toggle, and what do we call the toggle? Was it like enable accessibility?
Well, we did that initially. I think we were just like, turn on accessibility mode. And then everybody, like one of our user testers was like, well, what does that even mean? And we're like, oh, well, it means turn off auto submit. And they're like, why don't you just make the button say disable auto submit? And we're like, oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
Accessibility mode doesn't mean like, we had a blind person be like, I don't know what that means. Should I pick it or not?
So that was a compromise to meet our objective of making things accessible and to meet the client's objective of, you know, having things load into the page.
As people were checking boxes. Yeah. So the default, of course, I would love it if it was like turn on auto submit was the default, but at least, yeah, we added the option. And I think that ended up working out once we got the correct label on the toggle button that that users understood what it was doing, that was a good compromise. So maybe it's the same thing. You have a toggle button that's like, you know, turn infinite scroll off and on. You know, the interesting thing that would be like, what would the impact if, I don't know, Facebook or Twitter or something implemented that? Like, how much time on site would they lose?
Oh, yeah. I just want to throw a little one in there. What about reduce motion in regards to load more? Do you think
that's probably a really good use case for if somebody prefers reduce motion set, that load more should not happen.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Yeah.
And so in that instance, you probably always need to handle things the way that one WordPress plugin did, where there is a button below, because in a lot of instances, you're going to have it turned off and you need that button available and it should just always be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be designed in, even if you're planning to code it in a way that uses infinite scroll, your design should still include a load more button.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, or, you know, do what we do and just keep going back to basics and don't spend all this extra time building whiz-bang features that in the overwhelming majority of cases probably do not add sufficient value to user experience to justify your efforts.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a win-win, right? Like, the browser does it already. Save yourself some time, right? Like, as a developer and as a development team, save yourself some overhead. And yeah, it's the way it's been done for a long time. It's a little boring, right? It's not as flashy, but
expected it can be better. Yeah. Like, if users know how something works, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Right. Because at the end of the day, it's about providing information to somebody and with the as least friction as possible, right? We add all these bells and whistles in between that just so things look pretty, right? Like, and it, in the process, you know, like we're either negating a population of people that can't even access that information or get frustrated by it, and you know, you're reducing your efforts of getting that information to that person or making that sell or, you know, whatever your website does.
Well, I think that's probably a good ending point. So we should sign off and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another conversation episode.
All right. We'll see you all later.
See ya. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release.
You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.